Amen. I've got my own testimony, but I'd rather have a testimony like that. Amen. I love to hear kids say that I got saved young and got spared the scars and the sins of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People, over the years, I don't know, everybody, you know, thinks you have to mess your life up and just get all wrapped up in sin and then God save you. Listen, you're saved out of sin just as much as somebody that got their life messed up. Amen. Saved from the same hell. Amen. Same salvation, same Jesus, same blood. Amen. Bless the Lord. Kept you from a world of hurt and a world of experiences that you do not need. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I enjoyed that. All right, preacher, you come and preach to us. Pray for Brother Wells as he comes tonight. Amen.
God bless you, brother. Amen. Y'all glad to be saved?
Amen.
Yeah, buddy, I am too. Well, let me say a couple of things here before we get started tonight. This is my testimony. Isn't that good?
Amen.
It's good. I got saved when I was 14 years old. I never tasted the world, never been in the world, just a country boy back in the hills. And, you know, our family only went to town about maybe once or twice a month. Outside of that, we stuck back in that holler. I got saved 14 years old. And, you know, pure. I mean, didn't have all that baggage. But it wasn't long after I got saved, maybe a couple of years after I got saved. The devil kept saying to my heart, and I remember it clearly. The devil kept saying, "Yeah, you know, you ain't never tasted the world. You don't even know what the world is really like." Yeah. And so anyway, I didn't enjoy that. But anyway, I'll give you all the story, but I do know this. When God saves you at a young age and spares you from a lot of things, Satan is not going to let you alone. He'll come at you and he'll stay at you and bark at your heels and try to get you back in sin, in the world, and try to get you away from the Lord. Amen. So I got another question to ask you, totally unrelated. You don't have to answer it. But how do you stand on the promises? Standing on the promises of Christ. How do you stand on the promises? Do you get one of them out and you write it on a piece of paper and you put both your feet on it and you stand out? How you stand on the promises? No, that's not how you stand on promises. You stand on the promises by F-A-I-T-H, faith. I mean, you got something that God said in that word and you're going to believe it no matter what. You're going to trust it no matter what. Amen. And Satan is a master at trying to pull you away from the Lord. All right, let's look at our Bible, the book of Exodus tonight. And I'm going to try to get through all that book tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 15, 16, and 17. I told you now we're going to try to expound three chapters to you now. Will that be all right? Yeah. Y'all are saying, no, not one of them long ones again. Well, you know, I really don't know how to preach short sermons. Amen. The shortest sermon I ever preached is the first one I preached. And I preached on hell for about 15 minutes. I couldn't believe that. But anyway, whatever. So here's where we're going tonight. We're going to Exodus 15. Then we're going to 16. Then we're going to go to 17. And I'm going to read some sections out of this that are related. And so I'll mark it and tell you about them when we get into them. All right. So we're going to start now in Exodus 15 and verse number 23, 24, and 25. So stay with the word now. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast in the waters were made sweet. There they made them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. Now let's skip over to chapter 16, and I want to go to verse number 2 through verse number 4. Exodus 16, 2 through 4. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Oh, would to God we had died by the hand of God when we, by the hand of God, we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, and that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Now let's go to chapter 17, and we'll start with verse number 1, and we'll read down through verses number 6. 17, 1 through 6. And all the congregation, the children of Israel, journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, that take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and there, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it water, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I want to pray with you. Then I want to try to give you a thought and a lesson out of these three passages of God's Word. Now, it may not be a revival sermon necessarily, but what I've got to say tonight, I know the Lord's directed me to say it, but this message I want to give you tonight, if God will help us, will help prevent you from losing revival if God gives you something. So let's pray. Lord, I want to honor you tonight with the fruit of my lips. I want to praise you, Father, with everything that's in us. I thank you, Lord, for the music tonight, for the privilege of being here in the house of God, for these that have given their time to come and be with us in the house. I'm going to ask you, Lord, that you would show yourself now, manifest yourself through your word, Lord, and do a good work in our hearts, and we'll honor you for what you do. Should there be somebody here that's not right with God, not saved, Lord, I want to pray you would speak to them as only God can. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I'm sure that as we read the passage tonight, you noticed there was a common subject in every one of those passages. Y'all notice that? Did y'all notice that? All right, so I'm not going to ask you to tell me what it was, but it's real common. In every one of these cases that I read, there was a word mentioned called murmur. Remember that? Yeah. And the word murmur is mentioned. Now, by the way, do you know that these three cases I read to you are the first three times that murmuring is used in the Word of God? But it's not the first time that murmurings occurred. But this is the first three times that God named it murmuring. So what I want to talk about tonight, and I hope you'll stay with me. I probably won't make you shout, but I want to preach tonight on the cure for murmuring. You say, Brother Wells, I'm not a murmurer. Well, let's just hang around here a minute, and let's see what the Lord has to say. So, first of all, here's what I want to do. I want to define murmuring. Will y'all listen carefully now? What does the word murmur really mean? Here is what it means. A murmuring is an outward expression of a deep inward discontent. Now, do y'all hear that now? Think about that. Murmuring, it was an outward expression of a deep inward discontent or a rejection of one's lot and one's circumstances. So if I don't like my circumstances or the lot God's given me, then that hurts way down. So when I open my mouth and I say something about it, it's called murmuring. Or maybe I got hurt somewhere. Maybe somebody at church or somebody in the community, somebody did something I didn't like, and I just can't get it out of my craw, and then I start talking about it. That's murmuring. See, when you get something down inside and you can't get it right, then it's eventually going to come out. So let me remind you of this. So I'll give you a couple of examples, then we'll move along. So here's some examples that God gave in the Bible, but didn't use the word murmur. Did Cain murmur? Was Cain a murmurer? Oh, yeah. When God did not accept his offering, he began to murmur. And we don't have any words recorded about his murmuring, but we have his actions where he slew his own brother and hid his brother. And so what about Lot's herdsman? When Lot's herdsman, neighbor, got upset with Abraham's herdsman, there was a murmuring. There was a complaining. And so those are some examples of murmuring. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is murmuring sin? Are y'all listening now? Is murmuring sin? Y'all don't know? Four of you do, but I don't know about the rest of you. Is murmuring sin against God? Well, let me ask you this, and we might get into that a little later, but if murmuring's not sin, I'll give you this example. If murmuring's not sin, why did God send those fiery serpents and bite those people and kill a bunch of them when they were murmuring? If it's not sin, why did God do it? Now, murmuring is sin. But, Brother Wills, that's in the Old Testament. And so, well, what's sin there is not sin now. You can't prove that in the book. If it was sin in God's eyes then, yes, sin in God's eyes right now. Amen. So, God, neighbor, does not like sin. Now, are y'all listening to me now? So I don't want no responses, but how does God manage this murmuring? And Brother Wells, we're Christian, we never murmur. And so we never lie either, right? Amen. So how does God manage murmuring among his people? Well, I want to show you this now. If y'all notice, every one of those cases I read in chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17, here's the, you didn't notice it probably, but God never gave a negative word to them. They murmured because they didn't like the bitter water. They murmured because it's out of bread. They murmured because they didn't have no water. And every one of those cases, God did not say one single rebuking word or negative to them. Why? Here's why. Because God is a long-suffering God. God is a patient God. Here's how God starts dealing with murmuring. If God finds murmuring in your life or mine, here's what God does. God exercises his long-suffering and his patience toward us. Let me ask you this. If you're a parent and you try to raise a child at least somewhat according to the Bible, then you discipline that child when he needed discipline. Is that yes or no? Thank you, all four of you. Amen. Praise God. All right, so you discipline them. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. A parent that will not discipline their child ain't worthy of being a parent. You're welcome. Amen. So, but now listen to me carefully. If you're a parent that wants your child to grow up right, do right, well, you're going to correct them. But here's what happens. If you got a child, maybe they're getting to be 9 months, 10 months, whatever, and they're walking and they're getting around, then if you've got something on the coffee table or somewhere they can get to, you want to try to correct them and you're going to try to keep them from doing what you don't want them to do, right? But here is what you don't do. You don't go get a peach tree limb that's an inch thick and come back in and wear them out with that. You know why? Because they're just learning. And you're going to train them with patience and long-suffering and kindness. That's exactly what God does with us. When we get born again, no matter what our age, we're babies in Christ. And as a baby in Christ, when I do something I ought not do, God deals with me out of mercy, out of long-suffering, and out of patience. So now, what if I decide that I don't want to listen to God's patience? What if I'm murmuring and I've got some stuff in my craw that I need to get out or need to get right or whatever needs to be corrected, and I've not paid any attention to God's long suffering? What is God's next step in managing the murmuring that I might have? Here is what God does. God gives me the opportunity to self-judge myself. Are y'all listening now? This is a principle in God's Word. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chasing the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the Lord, of the world. Here's what God is. God is such a good God that if I've got murmuring in my heart, I'm slow about getting it right with God, then God gives me a chance to examine my heart, to see this thing that's in there, to self-judge myself, and to get it right with God. That's God's way of doing things. Y'all listen to me now. So what about this one now? So what if I mess around and I say, no, I tell you, that person bit me so wrong, and I've got this thing in my heart, and I'm not going to get it right with God. I know I ought to self-judge. I know where to get it right. I'm just going to hang on this a while. But y'all do know school ain't out yet. Amen. So here's what the Lord does. Then God takes us to another area of His dealing called Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Are y'all hearing that now? If you think, and if I think or you think that I've got sin in my life or murmuring in my heart and life, and I'm not getting it right with God, you listen to me now. The God of heaven will not let us go on as if maybe we did not need correction. Our God will step in and will chasten our life and correct us so that maybe we can be a child of God that He wants us to be. But now, wait a minute now. So what if now I've got this stuff in my heart, whether it's murmuring or something else, but particularly murmuring, I'm not getting it right. I've got this discontent in my heart. I mean, deep down inside, and it's coming out my mouth. I'm saying things ought not to say. I'm influencing people ought not to influence. And so I'm not getting it right. God's chasing me. He's been patient, long-suffering. Now God's chasing me. And I'm not getting right with God. What's God's next step? Does God have a next step? Oh, yeah. Are y'all hearing me? Yeah. This is what the Bible said. If I see my brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, I shall ask and shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin to death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Are y'all hearing me now? You say, Brother Wells, surely murmuring is not something that could bring death. You better not read Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. You better not read those books, because you're going to find cases where God's people murmured and grumbled and growled, and God put some of them to death. So this is how God does it. Now, are y'all with me now? I'm thinking that y'all looking at me like you're saying, "Well, Brother Wells, I don't murmur." Well, you may not, but I would examine this passage tonight and deal with it this idea of giving. All right, so y'all ready to go on now? Are you? All right, so now let's ask this question. So what causes us to murmur? What causes murmuring to come up in my heart and life? Well, I want you to listen out. We're going to look at these three examples God gave us. And if you paid attention, we read, you'll remember. What was the first one? Well, I'll help you. It was bitter water. The first example was bitter water, right? What was the next example? Wasn't it they had run out of food? Right? What was the third one? Wasn't it that they were out of water? Yes or no? All right, so now let's look now. So here's what I see. The first occasion that surfaced that God called it murmuring was in Exodus 15 at Marah, the bitter water. Here's what God said. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And the people murmured against Moses. Now, I want to give you a statement. Will y'all listen to me now? I want you to listen to my statement. That Bible did not say that water was poison. It said the water was bitter. So here's what it means. It means these people came upon some things that was not to their like in tasting. Their taste did not like what God was giving them. Oh, y'all listen to me today. So here's what the Lord is telling us here. He is saying, so here they are, and that they're just plugging along. Now they take a drink of water, and it's bitter, and God's given them this bitter water. Now, it wouldn't have killed them to drink it. It would not have killed them to drink that water. But every time they took a drink, it was not to their liking. Are y'all listening now? And so here's what happened. The bitter water offended their taste. Are y'all hear me now? The bitter water offended their taste. So let's think about that now. Have I ever had something that the Lord brought in my life that offended my taste? It was not to my liking. I didn't like what God allowed to bring come my way. Are y'all hear me now? So Brother Wells, surely not. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad I didn't think about writing the book back then, in the pastorate. But I could tell you things, and one thing after another, that God brought up that wasn't to my liking. Don't leave me now. So you come into church one day and you felt real spiritual, and the preacher preached on some sin that you didn't really remember you had, and you felt like a dog in the sand, and you left, and you say, "Why did he have to preach on that? I felt good today. Now look how bad I feel." Amen. But it wasn't your taste. Don't hear me now. So what about those times that God brought things up in your life that wasn't to your liking? It didn't taste good to you. Somebody smarted off to you. Amen. Come here now. Somebody cuts you off, you know. And you're on a two-lane road up here in the mountains. And you're going down the road, and this guy's getting ready to pull out. And he's got 500 yards to pull out before you get to him. And 50 feet before you get there, he decides to pull out in front of you. Y'all know, I can tell y'all, well, y'all know something about that. So get what I'm saying here. So they found this bitter water, which wouldn't have killed them. Look here. What about some of the things that were bitter to you and I? Some of the things that were not their liking. And yet we thought we was going to die if we didn't tell somebody about it. But it wouldn't have killed you to keep your mouth shut. It wouldn't have hurt you. It would have destroyed you. But the bitter water was bitter, and you didn't like the taste of the bitterness that was in the event. So here's what happens. So when I find something in my life, that neighbor that's offending to the things I like, it could be a bit, are y'all listening to me today? So we had, help us, Lord, we had, and I believe it was, Maybe it was 1985. I think you must have been around 1980. Yeah, I'd been pastoring 7 years. And so we had a little issue come up in our church. And so one Sunday morning, and that Sunday night, the men decided they want to talk to you, me. And it was all over. Half my church walked out. I lost half my church in one service. Did that cause a bit? Oh, yeah. Was that to my liking? Absolutely not. That wasn't to my taste. But so that's what happens, see. Better this business of murmuring can be caused neither by something that offends your taste. Now, look at chapter 16. Help us here, Lord. Chapter 16, here's the second thing that happened. So the children of Israel had been out maybe a month or a month and a half, and they had run out of food, or at least they were pretty short. Now notice what the Bible said, verse number 2. The children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the children of Israel unto them, and would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we said with the flesh pots, when we had when we did eat bread to the full, and for ye have brought us forth in this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. So here's what I see now. In this passage, they've been good. They've been doing good, but now their bread run out. So here's what we call the bread. We'll call the bread their table, or we'll call it the necessities of life. Are y'all with me now? So I know all of y'all hadn't always been wealthy. Amen. So have you ever had a time when the needs got low? I believe I said the other day, when my wife and I lived in Atlanta, McDonald's, I think, was only 15 cents a piece. Do you know that we couldn't even go buy a McDonald's for the kids and buy a hamburger and French fries and a drink for the kids? I mean, we didn't have that money. I remember when we did not have one single thing in the house. I mean, nothing we had to eat. So have you ever been there when maybe it wasn't food, but maybe there was a bill coming up and you did not have the money to pay for the bill and you did not know where it was coming from? Are y'all hearing me now? So that would be necessities of life. Yeah, let me ask you this. Is food a necessity of a life? So the children of Israel here, they are without food. The necessities of life have reached a low ebb, and now then they don't have nothing to eat, and so what do? They go to murmuring about the necessities of life they need. When God allows your table to get offended, it has the ability to create a murmuring on the inside. Are y'all hearing me now? You said, Brother Wells, God's a good God. Don't do that. Now, wait a minute. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? Help us here a minute, Lord. Here's what I know about God. I don't know a lot. Here's what I know about God. When you get born again, God is going to test you over and over and over again. Going to test you. Matter of fact, did you not read with me in that chapter 16 where God's going to give them manna? And here's what he said. He said, I'm giving them manna to see if they will walk in my law or no, is what he said. And those trials that God sends your way is to find out if you're going to walk in God's law or if you're not going to walk in God's law. And sometimes I find myself murmuring of what God's allowed to come my way. All right, so I'm doing my best here. So now, let's move along. So now, let's look at the third one right quick. All right, so now, in chapter 17, here's what happened. The Bible said the water ran out. Is that right? No water for the people to drink. And then the people did chide with Moses. And the Bible said, Moses said, wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Now, here's what I see here. So when God allowed their taste to be offended, when God allowed their table to be offended, and when God allowed their thirst to be offended. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? All right, so they are thirsting for water. They need water. Anybody ever been real thirsty? Well, I'm being honest. I never have been real thirsty, honestly. So I don't really know. But when you become thirsty, evidently, you'd about do anything to satisfy that thirst. So here these people are, and they're thirsty now. Let's apply that to us. Y'all ready now? Let's apply that to us now. So I'm saved by God's grace. I love Jesus. I want to serve the Lord. And now, and I'm doing my best. But I got my, I'm just using this example, y'all understand. And so, I'm not a girl, so I'm not going to look for a dress. But Millie's a girl, and Millie has got her heart on this real nice dress. I mean, it's just her made over. And brother Mark has got his eyes on one of them big Ram Dodge trucks. Oh yeah, you know, I can, and he just hear them loud muffers coming up the hill to the church, you know. So he's got his heart set on that. And God won't give it to him. And God wouldn't give her the dress she wanted. When God offends the things you're thirsting for, it has a potential to cause murmuring in the heart. Y'all listen, Brother Wes. I'm telling you, brother, I've seen this over. Oh, God, help me here. I've seen this time and time again. I've seen in my church where I pastor, I've seen young boys and young girls in our church, teenagers, that were getting ready to, you know, look for a mate to settle down in life. And they were thirsting for that mate. They wanted that boy. They wanted that girl that they could love and spend the rest of their life with. Are y'all hearing me now? And they, in their mind, they got their mind set. I'm going to be 19 next May, and I'm expecting God to give me a husband or wife at least by next May. September rolled around, they still ain't got one. Now they're 21, and they ain't got one. Now they're 25, and they ain't got a mate. The thing they thirsted for, God didn't give it to them when they wanted it. And they started murmuring against the God. And I cannot tell you, my brother and sister, how many young folks I saw go the world because that God would not give them what they wanted at the moment they wanted it. And they left God. They got a murmur in their heart. And out the door they went. Are y'all listening to me tonight? So let me give you something else right quick. Are y'all hearing me now? I want to give you this. It's not in the text, but it's still a part of the Word of God about this murmuring thing. And so I want to give you this one now. Let me explain the scripture to you, then we'll move on. Y'all remember the children of Israel came to Kadesh Barnea? Y'all remember that? They're getting ready to go over in the land of Canaan. Y'all remember that, don't you? Just go ahead and shake your head anyway, amen. So you're getting ready. They're getting ready to go over in the land of Canaan, and Moses sent 12 spies in the land of Canaan. Remember that? Y'all remember that? And so those 12 came back, and Joshua and Caleb said, "Whoopee! It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go get it." And the rest of them said, "We can't do that. The giants are over there." Oh, y'all listen to me now. I want you to get it now. And so the entire congregation believed the message of those 10 negative spies. Oh, I want you to get what I'm about to tell you now. For two years, the children of Israel have trusted Moses' word and trusted God's word that the land of Canaan is a land flowing with milk and honey, and it's theirs. And the report of the 10 spies came back and said, "We can't take that land. There's giants over there. We look like grasshoppers in their sight." You know what's happened here? They were trusting God to give them that land. And when God tested their faith with those giants, it crushed their faith. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? Here's what they did. They were trusting God, and they felt like God had let them down. Are y'all listening to me now? They felt like God had let them down. See, here's what happens. When your trust gets offended, it has a potential to cause you to start murmuring. You say, Brother Wells, God won't do that. Look here. There'll be a lot of things, that neighbor, that God's promised you, and that you're expecting them earlier than what God has to give you. And if you're not careful, you'll think that is a distrust for God, that God's not worthy of being trusted. Oh, y'all, listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Oh, my Lord, please help me tonight. I remember going to a meeting, and I was sitting back here near where Brother McDonald is, somewhere in that area, and there was a young person sitting behind me that I knew, had known for a while. And so the pastor asked that young person to come and sing. Are y'all listening now? And I've known her for a long time. She dressed godly and holy and pure. And, I mean, she was a godly-looking girl. But that day she came to me from behind me to go sing on the choir, whatever she's going to do. She came by, and it looked like that she'd been melted down and poured in that outfit that she was wearing. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I said to my wife, she's lost confidence in trusting God, and she's gone to advertising. Yeah, I'm right. Yes, I'm right. See, when you feel like God has let you down, and you will, Satan is going to make sure someone other that he has an occasion to point his finger at God and say, God has let you down. Just look. You look at all these other people, what they're getting, and look how God is restricting you. Help us, Savior. You know what happens? Murmuring starts coming out of the heart. Murmuring. I've served God. I'm doing right by God. Look what God's doing to me. Why don't God give me this? Why don't God allow this in my life? Murmuring. And see, it might not come out the mouth, but it's deep in the heart. It's just a matter of time. Y'all listen, Brother Wes. I'm telling you. Yes. Help us, Lord. So whenever my trust... By the way, no, I'm not going to go there. But anyway, whenever my trust is offended, and whenever my goals are offended, then neighbor, it may cause murmuring in my life. Are y'all okay now? All right, so now, let's look at this now. I'm going to look at these cases, and I want to show you these three ideas. So when murmuring starts, what is the course by which it starts? It's right here in our book. I want to show you. All right, you look in chapter 15. Look at chapter 15 and look at verse number 24. So in this chapter, they got bitter water. And so they feel like they can't deal with the bitter water, though it wouldn't kill them. They just couldn't deal with it. And so here is what they do. Verse number 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Help us here, Savior. Would you listen, Brother Wiseman? So when murmuring starts, what is the path or the course by which it takes? See, murmuring always has to have somebody to blame it on. It's got to have somebody to blame it on. You know who it is? It's always the leader. It's all and murmuring, and the one it picks to murmur, to blame, is the leader. Oh, y'all hear me today? So, Brother Wells, does that mean, no, it don't just mean the pastor. It could mean your parent. Because the parent's not giving you everything you want. You know, that little boy or girl down the street, you know, they have the uptown blue jeans. They have the uptown clothing. And there you are with those hand-me-downs. Now, this generation, they must not know about that. And here's what we have to do. We have to find somebody to blame our problem on. Our dislikes and our unpleasantness in life. I've got to have somebody to blame it on. Who am I going to blame it on? That person that's leading me. That person that's guiding my life. It might be my parents. It might be my supervisor. It might be my Sunday school teacher. It might be my pastor. And it could be the governor or the president, you know. You know, the president's always the easier one to blame. Come on now. Amen. But don't you listen to me now. Why don't you go back and think about it? When you got a murmur in your heart, didn't you look for somebody to blame it on? And yet God was in charge of your life. Yet God's the one's in charge, and God's the one that allowed this to happen in your life. Now you're looking for somebody to charge and blame with what God's allowed in your life. Oh, wait a minute now. Who are you blaming? I'll guarantee you one thing. Help me here, Lord. I'll guarantee you one thing. I don't care what church you're a member of. When somebody got mad and angry and went away, are y'all listening now? They got mad and went away. And they say, Brother Pastor, there's nothing wrong. We just feel led of God to leave. Oh, no, I shouldn't have stopped there, should I? We just feel led of God to leave. Yeah. But if you could hear them out yonder away from your ears, they'd be telling what they don't like about you and what they don't like about the church. It's they got offended somehow or another in the house of God, and then they've got to find the leader to blame what's in their heart. See? And here's what you better get. If you're born again and saved by God's grace, it's the God of heaven that's allowing to come to your life what neighbor has come to make you murmur. So, now wait a minute. Are y'all, now help me here, Lord. So is leadership important? Come here now. Is leadership important? Oh, yeah. I know kids right now that got mad at their parents and said, I'm moving out. I'm leaving here. And I'm thinking of some right now that's in the deepest ditch you could ever dream of being in. Because they said, no, I don't like what's happening here. And they blamed it on the leadership and left the leadership that God gave them. Oh, yeah. We're on live stream, I reckon, ain't we? And I can't give you some of the stories I could give you of people I've known just like that. So, Lord, help us here now. So, do I need leadership? Now, you know why, Millie, you know why you enjoy any leadership? Can I ask this unethical question? How old are you? Huh? 17. 21 and 17. All right, so let me ask you. Do you expect you have a future? Right? All right, so let's put it like this way. So you expect at least to live 10 more years. Right? So that'll make you... Yeah. So now let me ask you. Have you ever walked that path before? Do you know what's up ahead? Do you know what's up ahead even the next 10 years? What about, how old are you, preacher? Oh, he's 54. So from 20, what'd you say, 20? 21 to 54, that's 33 years. Y'all listen to me now. So we're starting off here and boom, boom, boom. And so I'm 21. But that guy's got 33 more years on you. So, but he don't know nothing. Wait a minute now. Hey, you can't walk without learning something. My God, man. You can't live without learning something about life. So would it be wise or unwise to say, I'm 21 now. I'm not preaching to you. I'm just using you an example. I'm 21. I'm old enough to be on my own. I'm old enough to make my own decision. Yes, you are legally. That's true. You're able to. But let me ask you something. So what if, that's 21. What if at 25 there was a deep pit that you didn't know was there? Would it not be better to have a leader that would say, now there's a deep pit out there. We need to try to avoid this. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say those 30, what did I say, 31? 30. Or here's what I'm trying to say. Those 33 years from where you are out here, you've not been this way before. You've not been this way before. Would it not be better to have a guide and a leader that could lead you in the right way, direct you in the right way? But you know what Merman will do? Merman will say, I don't want my leader. I don't need a leader. But you need a leader. You need somebody to lead you. You need somebody to guide you. You need somebody to direct you. But the old nature, when it finds something to murmur about, it picks out the leader to challenge and the leader to go out. Okay. Every church split. Y'all ain't never had one, right? Good. But every church split starts with murmuring. It starts with murmuring because they don't think the leader can direct them in God's way. So they go to challenge and attacking the leader. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Let me ask you this. Did the children of Israel go in the land of Canaan? Do y'all know? Did they go in the land of Canaan? Was it a land flowing with milk and honey? How did they get there? Well, they just woke up and one day they're there. No. There was a leader. God gave them a leader to get them there. But murmuring goes after the leaders. Are y'all listening to me now? So I want to show you this right quick. Now, let me see how much time. Oh, y'all got to midnight, hadn't you? Amen. All right, so I want you to look at this now. So let's go to chapter 16 a moment, and I want you to see this now. So look in chapter 16, verse number 2, and the Bible said, verse number 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat with the flesh pots, when we did eat bread the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Here's what they're doing. They attack the leadership. Now, they're attacking the logic of God. Now, they said, here's God's motive. Here's God's plan. He brought us out of Egypt, brought us out of this wilderness, so he could kill us with hunger. Isn't that what they just said? Isn't that what they said? Y'all not following me? But I'm trying to give you a lesson you need. All right, so here's what they said. Said, you brought us out in this wilderness to kill us with hunger. Is that what God intended to do? Was that what God's motive was? No. God's motive, you go back to Genesis where God called Abraham and he said, I want to make you a great nation. I want to bless you. I want to protect you. Y'all hear me now? And from that point on, that's what God had in mind for the children of Israel. Are you please listening to me tonight? See, when that murmuring starts, you start talking, you start murmuring about God's motive. Why ain't God given me? Oh, y'all listen to me. Help us hear me, Lord. Well, I pastored Calvary Baptist Tabernacle for 40-something years, 40 years and something. Are y'all hearing me now? You have seen the old church building. It was a two-story building, locked in. Residents on every side that did not like us. Y'all know anything about that? They didn't like us, and if they had to put their house up for sale, they'd wanted 14 more prices for it just because we're the church. Are y'all hearing me now? So I'm saying, God, we need a new. Matter of fact, we applied for a permit to build a fellowship hall behind us, behind the church. It's going to build it 2-story high, and it was going to be a blessing. And my neighbors went to the planning commission, and they protested, and they wouldn't give us a permit. Oh, look, come on now. And so I'm saying, God, don't you know we need some help here? God, don't you know we need something here? Are y'all listening to me now? So the Church of God built a complex. The Seventh-day Adventists built a complex. The Jehovah's Witness built a complex. And that compromising Baptist down the road built a complex. I'm saying, Lord, hey, Lord, hey. We're living right. We're living godly. We're trying to preach right and do right. Here you are, making us stay in this hole. But what he was doing, he was waiting to give us something better. And I was just in a big hurry for him to give us something. See, when you start murmuring against what God's motives are for you, you don't understand. He's waiting to give you something better. Something better. Amen. All right. Let me move on quickly, and then we'll give you a conclusion here, and we'll be done. All right. So now we see that they attack God's logic, and then they attack God's long suffering. Now, Lord? All right. So let me give you a couple of things right here. So, does murmuring have any bad consequences? All right, let me show you this. It causes division. And I really want you to see this. I really want you to hear this. God said it was an 11-day journey from Mount Sinai to Canaan. It was an 11-day journey from Sinai to Canaan. Because of their murmuring, they turned an 11-day trip into 38 years. See, murmuring stunts your growth. It stunts your development. It does. All right, so y'all got that now. All right, let me give you this in close. I know we don't have anybody here that's guilty of murmuring, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let me give you the closing now. So does murmuring need to be dealt with? All right, so how is this murmuring going to be dealt with? I mean, how can God cure the murmuring? Well, don't you listen to me carefully. God gives us the formula for curing murmuring right here in these three examples God gave us. And the same formula that God gave them is good. Do y'all know how long that's been? That's been nearly 4,000 years. And the same formula that God gave them works today if we use it. Say, what is it? I'm glad you asked. Listen to me. What was the first murmuring event? Help me now. What was the first murmuring event? Bitter water. Y'all listen to me. So, though he said, they came to Marah where the waters were bitter. They cried out. And God said, what do your Lord? You remember what the Bible said? And God showed him a tree. The bitter waters were healed by treatment. By the way, the chemical formula of the water didn't change. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised, Brother Corn. I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't use that tree to just change her taste buds. The water was still as bitter as it was, but God gave him the ability to taste it differently. You say you can't believe it. Yeah, I just said I wouldn't be surprised. I didn't make a dogmatic statement. But here's what I want you to get. They're murmuring, they're complaining, they're growling, and God said, put a tree in the water. The water became sweet. What's the tree? Help me now. What's the tree? The tree is the cross. The tree is the cross. God said, this is how you start dealing with murmuring. You get the cross in your affairs. You get the cross in that event that's caused you to be bitter. You get the cross in that element that's caused you to murmur and be upset with God for allowing this in your heart. You get the cross in there. Can I ask you this? Is murmuring not really coming from something inside that hurts you? Can I ask you this? Has there been anybody that suffered more than the blessed Son of God? Nobody. The Bible said, Jesus, His own self, bear our sins in His own body on the tree. Here's what God is saying. He is saying, when those elements come in your life that want to create murmuring, create grumbling, create growling, get the tree in the midst of that. Get the cross in the midst of that. Realize Christ bought you on the cross. He paid for you on the cross. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're a glorified God in your body and in your spirit. Put the cross in that. Not you, but put the cross in that. So what was the second one? What was the second murmuring? Sir? Food? All right, so they're out of food. So what did God give them? Y'all know the answer to that. What did God give them? Manna. God gave them manna. Are y'all listening now? So what is manna? Well, I'm not going to go into the technical end of it, but what does manna represent? Got it right, Benjamin. Manna can be a symbol or type of Jesus, but it can also be a type of that word. I would be willing to say that every person in here, when you found yourself in a murmuring experience, had left off your Bible. What do you think? You quit reading that book. You quit putting that word in your heart and in your mind. Here's what I found. I don't know how many times in my life I've had some things that come up that maybe could have produced just an awful situation. I found myself a place to get along with God. Open that Bible, and I just simply in the state of my knees and read that book. So God spoke to my heart out of that book. Here's what I'm trying to say. God said, I'm going to give you some manna. God has told you, matter of fact, God hasn't just told you. God has put a book in your hand that is inspired by God. It's infallible in error. There's no errors in it at all. It's God's inspired word. And God said, it's got the answer for you. Oh, it's got the answer for you. Somebody said, I need a psychologist. You got one? You got 66 of them. Just at your, and you don't even have to call to make an appointment with them. Amen. Yeah. And he said, by the way, you go back and examine your heart and mind. When you got a gripe in your heart, you got a grumble in your heart, why don't you ask yourself, was I reading the Bible then? Was I putting that word in my heart? Was I memorizing that word? Was I putting that word in my heart? The second of any murmuring, I'm giving you an answer, he said, I want you to put my word in. What did Psalm 119:11 say? Didn't I not say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that what? That I might not sin against thee? What? God's given you the word. All right, let's give you this one. I'm done. All right, so what was the third event? They didn't have any water at all, right? Right? All right, so what did God tell them? He said, I'm going to go before you. He said, I want you to go before the people. And said, I will be before you, and I will stand on the rock. Now, I don't know where the rock was. I don't know what it looked like, but I do know this. God said, I will stand on the rock, take the elders with you, Moses, and said, take the rod, and said, I want you to strike the rock. Did he? Are y'all listening to me now? So he struck the rock, and you reckon it started just trickling out. Just a little trickle here and a little trickle there. And finally, the stream got as big as your finger. Come here now. I'm playing with your mind. That Bible said the water gushed out like rivers. Now, if it gushed out like rivers, Brother Wilson, the water was moving. Y'all listen. Water in that scripture, if it's still, is the word. But water in that scripture, if it's moving, is the Spirit of God. Y'all see this now. God said, I'm giving you the solution to murmuring. Get the tree. Get the cross in your circumstances. Get the word of God in your heart and your life. Don't leave out the word. But he's saying, I want you to drink from my spirit. Oh, I want the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. Oh, y'all hear me today. God's wanting you and I. Oh, help me, Lord. Here's what I found in my life. If I can get full of the Spirit of God, I don't care what you've said. I don't care what you've done. It's not going to hinder me because the Spirit of God has ushered me in another world where the presence of God is surreal. Can you believe that? 4,000 years ago, God said, I'm giving you the solution to murmuring. And it works today. You get that cross. Keep the cross ever before your heart and mind. Keep what Jesus did for you. We've had a lot of talk around here tonight about what Jesus did for us when we're sinners and saving our soul. And that's wonderful and good. But I'm telling you, there are going to be times when the heart is just so down and out. And you absolutely must get the cross in there. You must keep in mind what Christ did for you. You must keep in mind that Christ bought you on that cross. Amen. And then you need to keep your heart and mind filled with that word. And you need to let the blessed Holy Spirit fill your heart and soul. Oh, I'm telling you, there's nothing like God overflowing your heart to the full and makes your difficulties and your troubles seem like they're nothing. He does that. I know this wasn't a big shouting service, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I know God put it in my heart. And I know there's somebody in this congregation, maybe not in your mouth, but in your heart, you've been murmuring about the circumstances God has allowed to bring in your life. I want to give you a statement. Moses said in that last section in chapter 17, he said, why are you chiding with me? And said, why are you tempting God? Do you understand murmuring? It's tempting God. It's tempting the Lord. Because what you're doing, You're challenging the sovereign God over the circumstances He's brought in your life.